एवं अन्विक्षमानस्य कथं वैकल्पिको भ्रमः मनसो हि विष्ठेत व्योम्नि वाचोदये तमः। एवं इन दिस वे अन्विक्षमानस्य of one who is carefully examining katham how vaikalpikaha based on duality brahmaha illusion manasa of his mind vridhi in the heart tishteta can remain vyomni in the sky eva just as arka of the sun udaye upon the rising tamaha darkness. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as the rising sun removes the darkness of the sky, similarly the scientific knowledge of cosmic annihilation removes all illusory duality from the mind of a serious student. Even if illusion somehow enters his heart, it cannot remain there. Translation responsibly. Just as the rising sun removes the darkness of the sky, similarly, this scientific knowledge of cosmic annihilation removes all illusory duality from the mind of a serious student. Even if illusion somehow enters his heart, it cannot remain there. Purport. Just as the brilliant sun removes all darkness from the sky, a clear understanding of the knowledge spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava removes all ignorance concocted by the material mind. One will then no longer accept the material body as the self. Even if such illusion temporarily manifests within one's consciousness, it will be driven away by the resurgence of one's spiritual knowledge. Also read text 29 and complete this chapter. Esha sankhya vidhi proktaha samshaya granthi bhedana prati loma nu loma bhyam paravara drishamaya. Thus I, the perfect seer of everything, material and spiritual, have spoken this knowledge of Sankhya, which destroys the illusion of doubt by scientific analysis of creation and annihilation. Purport. Lord Shri Krishna has explained that the material mind accepts and rejects many different concepts of life, generating innumerable false arguments about the process of perfection. But a person who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can see everything with clear intelligence. One who understands how the Supreme Lord creates and annihilates can be liberated from material bondage and devote himself to the eternal service of the Supreme Lord. Thus end the purpose of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Philosophy of Sankhya. ओम ज्ञानातिमहेन्द्रस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द फिलॉसफी ऑफ सांख्या। सो देयर आर डिफरेंट काइंड्स ऑफ योगा सिस्टम्स टू अचीव द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ विच इज to realize Vishnu, to find out the root of all existence, or Krishna. So in this chapter, Krishna is describing the Sankhya Yoga system. So as we know, we have that book, Teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti. So in the third canto, elaborates on the Sankhya philosophy. So the 11th canto is the summary of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, the Sankhya philosophy is being touched upon again. But in the third canto, it is elaborated much more. So this as we were hearing from Adi Purush Prabhu also on Sunday, I think. So there are two Lord, there are two Kapila Devs. One is a Lord, one is God, and the other is not. So one is an imposter, whereas Lord Kapila Dev is an incarnation of Krishna, and is the genuine one, and he imparts real Sankhya philosophy. So, as I said before, the purpose of Sankhya philosophy is to, as mentioned in these two verses, this is mainly the purpose of Sankhya philosophy, to destroy the illusion of material life, to destroy the illusion of material duality, and to be fixed in one's spiritual identity in relationship to Krishna, and to render devotional service. So, see, Sankhya philosophy is well, the equivalent of that these days is the philosophers and scientists who are trying to understand the material creation by their own limited senses. And based on the information they gather from the limited senses, they speculate on that. And they put forward so various kinds of philosophies. So that is the like the modern equivalent to... But in that, they don't come to the conclusion, nor do they come to the conclusion that that there is there's a para prakriti and there's a apara prakriti, how these two are in combination through the false ego. So they are not able to come to that conclusion. They don't even realize that there is the spirit soul encased in matter, and then there is the supreme spirit. So the knowledge they have these days is actually very, very limited, because they are using their own senses to find out, and then they are speculating based on what they have gathered. And so therefore we see that therefore we see in schools and colleges that so many, the books keep changing, our science textbooks keep changing. So you know, some new theory will come, or they'll come up with some new explanation on the origins of the universe. Just like recently Stephen Hawking, he's saying, so the universe has, this is a new theory, has come out of nothing. So nothing is the cause of this present universe. So like this, they are coming up with so many different kinds of theories based on their own speculative mind, because they do not consult the Vedic texts out of their arrogance or pride. They think that they can figure out things by themselves. They do not need any higher authority to find out about this material world. And they think they know everything about this material world, but actually what they know is very, very tiny. They cannot see the entire picture. They can only see a part of the picture. Just like even they do not know, they do not even know fully about this material world, or even this planet on which we are living. Then what to speak of the, you know, rest of this universe with so many planets? And what to speak of, you know, what's beyond that, the spiritual sky and spiritual planets and Krishna himself. So that is not at all possible. So even if one runs at the speed of the mind, they cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see in the Bhagavatam that the Sankhya philosophy is described, but it is like a concise version, it is like a summarized version of the Sankhya philosophy, what Krishna is describing in the third canto, then again here. Because there are certain texts which elaborate on this. So if someone wants to study Sankhya, you know, there are certain texts where they go into minute details into all the 24 elements. But here Krishna is giving a summary. He is giving a brief description which we'll discuss later, why it is very important for us, the Gyan aspect or the Sankhya aspect in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. So we understand that the absolute truth, this is the prakriti, there is the para prakriti and there is the apara prakriti. So the para prakriti is the spiritual element, the spirit soul. That's us. And then the apara prakriti is matter. So the apara prakriti, it embodies the subtle causes and the subsequent manifest products. So It contains both the subtle and the gross in it. So then again, the purpose of to understand that is to come to the conclusion that Vishnu is the root cause and one has to render devotional service. In text 18 of this chapter, it's mentioned that a material object, itself composed of an essential ingredient, creates another material object through transformation. Thus, one created object becomes the cause and basis of another created object. A particular thing may thus be called real in that it possesses the basic nature of another object that constitutes its original and final state. So the Sankhya philosophers basically they adopt this technique to reach to the conclusion that how Vishnu is the root cause. So they try to understand that, you know, just like, for example, you have, example is given of earth and gold. From earth, clay is produced. So the cause of clay is the earth. So that is so the earth is its origin and its final state. So then from earth comes clay. From clay, you know, clay pots are manufactured, then saucers, like that. Then from gold, so much jewelry can be manufactured from gold. But gold is the origin and its final state. So in this way they go like this back, and they come to the conclusion that actually Vishnu is the cause. So in this chapter the creation is also described. So Krishna is the supreme cause. Then from Krishna comes the Mahapurush, or Krishna's plenary portion, Mahavishnu. So from Mahavishnu, time comes, which is one of Krishna's energy. Which is the eternal aspect. Time is eternal. Time represents the will of Krishna. So therefore this material world is created, which means that is the will of the Lord for the creation of the material world, so that the living entities can have the illusion that they are God, that they are separate from Krishna, and that they are enjoying separately, but at the same time they are reformed. So they get the beating from material nature, and they one day they'll realize and they'll want to go back. They'll have the spiritual inquiry. So time represents the will of the Lord, and we see also Bhishma Dev, when Maharaj Yudhishthira was lamenting on the death of the massacre he thought he had caused in the battle of Kurukshetra. So many millions of soldiers were killed, and he was lamenting, and Krishna wanted the five Pandavas to go and see Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev will be very pleased to see Maharaj Yudhishthira being enthroned, the new emperor of the world, because they had suffered so many injustices. And Maharaj Bhishma said that this is all because of time, which is the will of Krishna. So many reversals are taking place because by the will of time, which is the will of the Lord. So from time, it's mentioned in text 22 to 27 how from time the Pradhan comes. So the Pradhan includes the time aspect, but it is not activated yet, as per my understanding. So then after that the Lord glances and impregnates it with the jivas. And when the Lord glances, the three modes also become agitated. And then let's say the time element is active. And from that the Mahatattva comes into being. So we can see how from the unmanifest it is manifesting. Everything is in cycles in this world. So like you take a seed, from the seed, the entire, it has the potency of the entire tree in the seed. So by the influence of time it gradually grows. So like that, the Mahatattva comes, and Mahatattva is predominantly in the mode of ignorance. So then from Mahatattva the false ego arises. So the false ego is in three divisions: goodness, passion and ignorance. So the purpose of the false ego is to basically to cover the living entity. So from the mode of goodness, the mind arises. Then from the mind, the chief 11 demigods, they arise. And then from the mode of passion, it gives rise to the senses, the 10 senses, karma indriyas, jnana indriyas. And the senses lead to fruitive activities and speculative knowledge. So you can see how people are performing fruitive activities. So that's the like the mode of passion. So everyone says, okay, people are working for a result, and then they're putting forward so many kinds of theories, philosophies. So that's false ego in the mode of passion. And then there's false ego in the mode of ignorance, which gives rise to sound. From sound, manifest ether. Then from ether, touch. From touch, comes form. Then fire, then taste, water, fragrance, earth, then grains, then food, which gives rise to the material body of the living entity. So this is the process of creation. And then, from that all that comes the universal air, in which this is Mahavishnu, then Karno Dakshayavina? Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, sorry. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lies in the universal egg, and from his sweat, which makes is the ocean, Karna ocean, and he lies on that. And then, from him comes the navel. From his navel comes the lotus stem, in which the 14 planetary systems are situated, in which we are also situated. So, and then on top of that is Brahma. And then, so there are the three worlds, which are based on fruitive activities. And so above that is Maharloka, Tapoloka, Janaloka. These realms which are meant for the yogis and or those who have lived in the renounced order of life, like that. It's described in the previous verses. But we understand that time and material nature are actually the energies of Krishna, and Vishnu is the plenary portion. So in this way the creation takes place, and in this the same way it is wound back. So all this is happening in one breath of Mahavishnu. It's amazing. All this is taking place. So and the creation is so long, so many trillions of years, and so many incarnations of Krishna are coming, and we are taking so many births, all happening within one breath. So breathes out, breathes in, like that. So this is, of course, this is all very inconceivable. So as I said before, the purpose of material creation is to facilitate the illusion of enjoyment of the jiva and the reformation of the living entity. And that is actually the thankless task of Maya, because the living entity does not appreciate that. And Krishna himself doesn't want to punish the living entity. So material nature, Durga Devi, takes up this service, and she performs the thankless task of reforming the living entity. So we understand that our bondage in this world is caused by fruitive activities, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Texts 4 to 6. That Nunam Pramata Kurute Vikarma Yad Indriya Pritya Apnodi Nasadu Manyas Kleshara. So that that we have, the reason we are in this material world, we have this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, or sense gratification, which gives rise to fruitive activities. So sense gratification is the cause of fruitive activities. We work in a certain way to acquire a result so that we can enjoy. So we see in the material world, no one is working on a selfless basis. If any activity is being performed, there is some selfish motive behind there. So even if people are engaged in philanthropic or charitable activities, that is extended sense gratification. So which gives birth to fruitive activities. And as a result of this, this mode of passion, one is not able to ascertain the goal of life. So somehow material nature covers us, and we are not able to understand the purpose of life, that we are meant to inquire into our real existence, into our real identity. Why we are in this material world? Where did we come from? Where are we going? What is the purpose of life? So this inquiry gets covered this major inquiry of life, but rather people are inquiring about all other small things. You know, how will I have to pay the bills? Okay, what kind of job will I get? You know, what is my future in this world? You know, I'm going to study this, and what will I do this weekend? Or these days, if people they can maybe as far sighted they can get is maybe, you know, 1 year plan, 2 years plan, or at the max 5 years plan. So countries, they make 5 year plan, 10 years plan, but they cannot see that, you know, they all are actually heading into the ditch. Is the blind leading the blind? So, but what does all this lead to? It leads to creation of further material bodies. So because of the desire for sense gratification, which leads to fruitive activities, and because of that, one is bewildered and one is not able to inquire into the self, and then one has to get the resultant actions of their fruitive activities, whether they are good or bad, which leads to further material bodies, and in this way the cycle of birth and death continues. So Sankhya Yoga is actually meant to cut this samsara chakra, to cut off this bondage. So this is one of the processes. So we understand from Bhagavad Gita that actually Sankhya Yoga and devotional service or work in devotion are actually one and the same. There is no difference, because the goal of these processes is the same. So the goal is to understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes, or Vishnu, and to render devotional service unto Krishna. So that's the whole idea. So, you know, one process takes you very quickly. That's like jumping on an elevator. You go straight to the 100 story. And the other process is, you know, very gradual, slow. So we'll look at both of these processes, Sankhya and devotional service. But actually Krishna recommends the path of devotional service, because that is more safer and easier. Why? Because in Sankhya Yoga, that's very dangerous, because one is actually situated on the material platform till they come to the conclusion that, you know, Vishnu is the cause of all causes, and they factually understand that point. So till then they are actually situated on the material platform. Even if they understand, they are spirit soul, but they do not know what they are part of, then they are forced, they won't act in the status of the spirit soul. They will be forced to act in terms of their material body. So then that is actually a very risky proposition, because one is acting on the material platform, which will again give rise to fruitive activities, and then again that cycle again continues. So this process of Sankhya Yoga does not necessarily immediately purify the heart, because one is engaged in speculative philosophy. You know, one is trying to understand, okay, what is matter, they're trying to very minutely understand the 24 material elements. So it's a very, very tedious system. And it's not a very happy process also, because studying all of this, you know, very technical knowledge is not a very happy process. It gets boring after a while. You know, like, you know, if you're doing, you know, maths all the time, you know, maybe for some time you'll get pleasure out of it, but eventually it gets boring. So it's like that. They're trying to understand, you know, the material creation. And so it's the Mayavadi sannyasis actually take up this process. So they study the, you know, Vedanta Sutra, and they particularly study the Sharirka Bhasya of Shankaracharya. And that's a very, very tedious process of trying to understand. But they don't get any taste out of it. Whereas in devotional service we can see that the entire process is Susukam Kartum Aveyam. It is a joyful process, devotional service. And there, so in Sankhya they restrain their senses from activities. So their scope of activities is very, very limited. So of course they're still acting. They are, you know, they're eating, they're drinking, they're walking. So even in in doing all of that, they are actually getting entangled in the material world. Because anything we do in this material world has a reaction. Just like you could be walking down the road and, you know, you've stepped over 10 ants. We don't even realize that. But that doesn't mean that we are immune from the reaction. So in that way, that is a very, very risky process. So they don't have a positive engagement. They are restricting their senses. So Srila Prabhupada says that how sometimes they are engaged in study of Vedanta, they get so sick of it, tired, then they take to the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, but without proper understanding, and they commit offenses. And of course there is a high risk of falling down from this. It's like, even sometimes the Mayavadi sannyasis, one might think, okay, you know, they're not getting a higher taste, but how is it that, you know, they are able to follow the four regs, and you know, they also look very effulgent. So, but that's a very, very risky process, because there's no higher taste. One can fall down at any point of time. That's like playing snakes and ladders. So, you know, the last snake is at number 98. So, you know, like if they've reached such a high level, and have you played snakes and ladders? You still play? Okay. So, you know, there's the last snake around 99 or 98. So, if you reach there, if you throw the dice and you reach 98, then you come back to number 2. So, it is like that. So, in snakes, they reach such a high level of renunciation. But because they don't have a higher taste, they fall down. So then they sometimes come back to the material platform and they engage in philanthropic activities, charitable activities, like that. Or sometimes they're not even able to control their senses. So it's a very, very risky process. We see so many sannyasis there, you know, the Mayavadi sannyasis, they say, okay, you know, this material world is false and we are spirit soul, goal of life is to become one. But why do they come back to the material world? So that is because there's no taste. And this process of Sankhya Yoga takes many, many births. It's a very, very tedious process. So it takes many, many births to Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. So after many, many births of speculating like this, they come to the conclusion that Krishna is the goal of Krishna is the cause of all causes, after many, many births. So one has to take, whereas in devotional service, there is instant purification. Because we are engaged in Krishna service right from the beginning. The means and the end is the same. So therefore there is, you know, this, we can see it from when we started Krishna consciousness, we come to the temple, somebody asks you, hey Prabhuji, can you please do this service? Can you clean the prasadam all? Or, you know, can you wash the car? So, or can you cut some vegetables? Because we are doing that for Krishna, there is instant purification. So when we come to temple, there's kirtan going on. So there is instant purification. And right from the beginning, we are acting in the status of the spirit soul. Because the spirit soul is meant to act in relationship to the supreme whole. So the spirit soul is meant to render service unto Krishna. That's the constitutional position. So right from the beginning, whether we know it or not, we are acting in that status. Of course, it's better to act with knowledge rather than without knowledge. And then success in this path is actually guaranteed in devotional service. There's full success. So even if we are not able to complete the process, maybe due to worldly mindedness, we will get another chance where we can take up this process. And whatever we have done is eternally to our credit. So it is to our spiritual bank account. Whatever, whether we turn a screw or, you know, how many years of service we have done, that is, thank you, that is eternally to our credit. Arvind. So that is, so we have this eternal bank account. And in Krishna consciousness, we understand the meaning of renunciation. So, the Mayavadis, they think that renunciation means because they do not see everything in relationship to Krishna. They do not see the energies in relationship to Krishna. Therefore, they cannot really renounce. It's like saying, you know, no. It's like, you know, this does not belong to me. It's like sometimes once businessmen would come to Prabhupada and they said, you know, do you want some money? Prabhupada said, yeah, you know, I'll take all the money you can give me. Because Prabhupada sees that as the energy of Krishna and he can engage it in Krishna's service. Whereas the Mayavadis, they see it separate from Krishna. So they are like, they are scared of it. Of course, even as devotees, we have to be careful of these things. But an advanced devotee can actually see that it is in relationship to Krishna. So therefore, their renunciation is falgu. It is like, you know, false renunciation. It's like if we walking down the street and you see $100 bill, so one person might think, okay, I'll keep it for myself. And another person might think, you know, it doesn't belong to me, but, you know, I don't want to find out who it belongs to. I'll just leave it there. So someone else can, you know, pick that up and misuse it. Or the best thing is to actually find out who the owner of that money is and to give it to that person. So similarly, it is in devotional service, we are actually trained to understand that everything is Krishna's energy. And we have to use the energy in Krishna's service. And right from the beginning, because we are rendering service to Krishna, because if we serve someone, we gradually become attached to them. I think Chandrasekhar Prabhu was mentioning that if we serve someone, then we become attached to them. So right from the beginning, we are taught how to serve Krishna. So that's why we have Vairi Sadhana Bhakti, in which regulated devotional service. So we developed a taste for serving Krishna and then we become attached. So like even if someone falls back from Krishna consciousness, if they've rendered, you know, some service, then they can come back to what they've fallen from. Otherwise, if you don't have a taste of service, how will you? It's hard to come back to something which you don't even have a taste for, you're attached to. So in devotional service, the senses are engaged right from the beginning. You know, we can see what the services we do, we actually do with our senses. So, you know, right from the morning, seeing the deity form of the Lord, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, engaging the sense of hearing, then hearing Bhagavatam class, Kirtan, then taking prasadam, engaging the tongue, and then doing different kinds of devotional service, whatever we are given. So that way we are actually engaging our senses. So there is very less chance of falling down as compared to Sankhya. Actually, one who is on the pure devotional service platform, they don't fall down because they're fully engaged. And one quickly achieves the goal because there's rapid purification. So we see that. Then next point I'd like to make is, we see even the Jnana or Sankhya is also important for devotees to understand. Of course, we don't understand to the same degree as the Sankhya yogis do, but it is also important for us to understand. We see even in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Jnana aspect is there. So we should try to understand why it's there. Right, even in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts from Jnana. You know, you're not the body, you're the spirit soul. Krishna could have spoken straight away, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, you know, just abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. Or start from the 12th chapter of Gita. So the reason it's there, as Chandrasekhar Prabhu also mentioned on Monday, that it's so that we can develop an understanding that God is great. Because sometimes people say God is great, but how great is God? So if we actually study the first 9 cantos systematically in Bhagavad Gita, we'll understand through the process of creation how God is great, how all this is taking place. So we'll understand the greatness of God. And also, as Prabhuji mentioned, we don't become Prakritya Sahajyas. So once Srila Prabhupada was, I think, in New Delhi, maybe at some life member's house, so they wanted to hear the Rasa Leela from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, I think he said from memory, I'm not very qualified to speak. But Srila Prabhupada didn't want to speak because people sometimes straight away they want to jump onto the pastimes without understanding the philosophy, which is also the creation and all this stuff, which is also the Leela of the Lord. So whatever Krishna does is the Leela. So this aspect is also the Leela, and we should actually understand this. And another reason why Gyan is there, so that we can develop faith in the process of bhakti. Because, you know, initially Krishna consciousness means the level of faith we have. So it is all based on faith. Initially we don't have any faith, and we are strongly holding to our material side. So all this description actually shakes our attachment to the material world. It's like, you can imagine, if on like book distribution, you give somebody what are some of the acharya's books, like some of the very, yeah, you give someone, you know, Jaiva Dharma or you know, pastimes of Krishna, you know, most people won't be able to understand that. They'll take it as something material, and you know, they cannot relate to it because they don't have that faith, and they've completely forgotten Krishna. Everyone has, in the material world, has completely forgotten Krishna. So this gyan aspect actually, so they can, you know, when they read Bhagavad Gita, they can actually relate to their situation being in the material world, and then that gives them the faith, you know, in the book. Then they start reading more and more, and then they you know, develop faith in Krishna like that. So their faith reawakens in Krishna. So this aspect is also is very important. And also we need to understand, so there's the material side of things, and then there is the spiritual side. So we have the spiritual vision, and so there's the negative side and the positive side. So it is important to understand both, the negative side, because if we don't understand that, our intelligence will be weak. So, you know, every now and then we get attacked by Maya. So if we have an analytical understanding of the material world, it can actually help us to, we can understand actually how we are being influenced by Maya. So it is very important to understand how the material world functions. Unless we understand that, we cannot become very serious in our pursuit of Krishna consciousness. So that is also one of the items of knowledge, to understand the evils of birth, death, old age and disease. So that has to be understood. Otherwise one will not have the impetus to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And we see that the job of Maya is to cover the living entity. So the material nature will not educate us in all these things. You know, the job of Maya is actually to cover us. We don't see in schools and colleges and in other places such kind of knowledge being taught, because the job of Maya is to cover us, to bewilder us. So such kind of knowledge is found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and one has to read that. So we can even see in our own lives to what degree you know, we are trying to understand the philosophy or not, from all angles of vision. And Srila Prabhupada said that we should actually discuss, this is also kirtan, to discuss the negative side of the material, to discuss this negative aspect. So this is also kirtan, because that makes our intelligence strong. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections, whatever I've said. That's in the chapter 9 of first canto there, and even in teachings of Queen Kunti, it's there. Queen Kunti talks about eternal time, and Bhishma Dev also mentions how that is the will of the Lord. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, time I am. Any other questions? Yes, Mother.
Yogis also. It's important for everyone because it brings detachment. But of course, for devotional service, for us, it's important to have attachment to Krishna, not only attachment to material world.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Prabhupada.
So, thank you very much for a very nice discussion. How do we get the taste in the devotional service? By serving the spiritual master, pure devotee is a big celebration.
Yes.
That is the most important.
By following the instructions of Guru.